tonight about the mixed words. But again, before
I'd like to still say a word because of this underlying burden. It is important to catch the underlying burden. Otherwise, we will take these things like, okay, well, we need to spend more time. I need to do this or do that to spend more time, still not catching the intrinsic burden. The intrinsic burden is that we are truly at a kind of crisis point. The way I see it, a certain kind of a crisis moment. As far as where we should be, especially individually, but the individual experiences combined becomes the corporate. As far as where the Lord wants us to be, regardless of what station we're in, we're all in different stations, we're all in different levels of experience of the divine life. Those are relative. We're not trying to make the church everyone equal. That's not what we're talking about. But wherever we may be, right? Like in Philippians says, by the same rule let us walk.
Amen.
In other words, in a sense, our need are all the same. I may be here, you may be here, but our need is all the same, that we need to go forward.
Amen.
We need to go upwards. And Paul, there in chapter 3 of Philippians, talk about a certain upward calling for the prize of this high calling. Surely that is the height. Surely that is the height. And so we are at a crisis point because of the age that we're in and because of all the things that are used by the enemy, the pernicious one, in this truly an evil day. We really are living in an evil day. The days are evil. And this evil is not just addressing just these bad, sinful things merely. Evil, in the sense that it is robbing us, it is cheating us already. Too much already of our times of being filled in the Spirit, of our times of understanding what the will of God is and therefore doing it, of our Christian, a prevailing Christian life, and also a strong church life, which really is the ultimate will of God today. And so we have to start with the most basic, fundamental place. And that place, I would like to say, is our personal one-on-one time with the Lord.
Amen.
This is the context.
Amen.
Not just to stir you up, to do something this week, and that's it. There is a true crisis facing us. Actually, in a very good sense, it's facing all Christians. But even we in the recovery are not impervious. We are not immune or exempt from that kind of robbing work of the enemy to take away our time with the Lord. Because only at these kind of personal times with the Lord that the real dispensing of the triune God takes place. The real reception of the divine element takes place. And therefore, all the goodness of the organic salvation from sanctification to renewal to transformation and even eventually to confirmation, all of these things have no way to be experienced by us, or at least not experienced in a very strong way. Well, I do not know about you. I personally sense this kind of crisis within. And I feel the church, many saints are facing a similar crisis. Now, I talk about the dimensions, right? The height, the depth, the length, and the breadth that we have yet to apprehend in Christ. But I must also say that there's another thing that characterizes our deficiency or our shortage in our experience of Christ is this matter of generality. And that is that year after year, our experiences of Christ remain at a very general level, not just superficial, but general, very general. And I think one way to illustrate this is in Genesis chapter 1, where the lights, you know, the created lights, started out with a very general kind of a light, right? Very, very general, very fuzzy. But because there is light, there is some life that came forth, all right? But the life that came forth were very, very basic, very, very primitive, kind of, very general kind of life. But as the creation week proceeded, the lights became more and more and more specific, all right? The lights became more and more strong, more and more definite, more and more particular. And every time when the light became stronger and more definite, correspondingly the life that sprang forth all over the earth also became more specific and more higher level. Now, all you need to do is to study the life studies of Genesis, and all this work was marvelously expounded in those chapters there. And I suggest that you go and read it. The more specific the light, the more mature the light, the more mature the higher level, the more sophisticated the life form. Are you following me? So all the way, you may say, what about man? I mean, God didn't have some special light and then he created man. Well, let me tell you, there was a light when man was created. I tell you, it happened after man was created. After man was created, God brought man in front of the tree of life. Let me tell you, that tree of life is light. That tree of life, in him was life. That tree of life is just Christ. And the life is the light of man. I tell you, after man was created in a special way, he was placed under actually the shining of the tree of life. In that life was the light. And if he had partaken of that tree, I tell you, he would have received the divine light and the divine life. Now, Another problem that I have seen among saints is a perpetual babyishness. A perpetual, you know, today they say, these people that, especially in Newport Beach, that do this nip and tuck and Botox and what do you call these things? Facelift and, you know, these things. They become aged. They have an ageless look. In other words, you don't know how old they are. You look at their skin, they look like they're 70-year-old, but their face look like I don't know what. Are you following me? They lost their natural age by this, whatever they do to their face.
Huh? Cosmetic surgery.
Cosmetic surgery. And it's like their face is frozen in time. It doesn't change anymore. It's like I see some saints, they somehow get stuck and remain in a particular spiritual state without any furtherance. Week after week, I like to see some more growth. I like to see some more advance in the Lord. I long to hear some more experiences of Christ. I hear not, in fact, I hear the same old thing. It's the same old thing. Now, compared to a very, very young one, that same old thing is not bad. But there's no progress. But there's no progress. And that so pains me, because that is a sign of no growth in life. No growth in life. Dear saints, we all should be growing all the time. But the only way we can grow is when the light becomes more specific. The more, we have a song that says, be done with generality, be specific for reality. Don't we have such a song?
Yeah.
And that is a song on the experience of Christ. I remember we used to sing that song quite a bit. Now, this other problem we have is that remain in this generality. We just generally experience Christ, and there's no specific experience of the Lord. The younger you are in the academic system, the more you learn general knowledge, right?
Yeah.
The 1 + 1 + 2 = 2. Okay, this basic math. And even when you go to high school, you go to college, it's still, even in college, you mainly learn breath courses, just breath stuff. Now, when you get to graduate degree, and when you get to doctorate study, then you get to postdoc, I mean, they are there analyzing something so incredibly specific that no one else knows in the world except that one guy. you see what I'm saying? Because they have gone to such a point that they have advanced to such a point that they are now ready to drill into something in an area that is most specific. That's a sign that they are advancing academically. But I see the saints, many just, you have to remain in about the same age. Still in some general enjoyment of the Lord, you just listen just by the hymn they call, by the prayer they make, by the prophecy they give, you just can tell it's about at that level. Still about that level. Still about that level. You long, you yearn to see this one grow and advance and become more mature and would become more able to feed the saints with something heavier, something weightier, something deeper. You see? But we don't. The result, the church is not fed. The church is always subsist on some kind of baby food or some kind of easy food. You know what I mean? the church is unable to advance to eat some stronger food or solid food because there's no one eating that. Therefore, no such food is given, and those who are eating would not know anything better. Brothers and sisters, the church in Irvine needs to grow up.
Amen.
We'll always have babies. Praise the Lord for babies. Am I right?
Amen.
But these babies should push us
Amen.
To grow up.
Amen.
But if we don't, we would just be like the Corinthians. He said, I should, you know, call you, you know, you should be full grown. But still to this day, I can only call you as babes. Because you are still fleshly and even fleshy in the case of the Corinthians. How that hurt the apostle. I mean, you read Corinthians. That is the case. That is the case. Now, I must tell you, to have such kind of growth is not for our own private spirituality. It's not so that, you know, I'm grown. Forget about that. If we love the Lord and love the church, we will seek to grow in life.
Yeah.
Because only life builds.
Yeah.
And the stronger the life, the stronger the building. The richer the life, the richer the building. And so, all I can say, surmise, is that the saints, in their personal relationship with the Lord, in their personal times with the Lord, are not advancing. Their times with the Lord about the same a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, about the same, you know. And even the duration of their time with the Lord, 5 years ago, 10 minutes will suffice. Today, 10 minutes will still suffice. That means something is wrong. Today, you must already need 20 minutes. You need, no one tells you, there's no law here, but you have a need for 30 minutes. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
And to come back to my point of generality, your experience of the Lord should be more and more specific. More and more specific. So when you share, this week I experienced the Lord in this and this, it's very specific.
Amen.
Very particular. Not, well, I sort of enjoy Christ. Well, as a baby, you can say that. I enjoy Christ. What do you enjoy? Well, anyway, that's okay for a baby. But you cannot remain like that. You have to bring a bullock here. You have to bring a turtle dove here. You have to bring some particular experiences of the Lord that you gain from the week, like someone who's been laboring on the good land, on some particular area. And I would like to actually tell you, dear saints, this, that Christ is experienced specifically.
Amen.
Christ is not experienced generally.
Amen.
Actually, Christ is experienced specifically.
Amen.
Almost, I can say, if it's not specific, that experience is not up to, you know, not up to standard. I can almost say this. Now, that is quite a check. I would say quite a kind of a check there. now, so, dear saints, now tonight I come to group 5, and group 5 will talk about something further, all right? Now, it's been so long ago it seems, yesterday, really, at that morning time, I have no time whatsoever to cover those 12 words except to just speak them. But I tell you, those 12 words are totally, totally essential. All these things are about our actual absorbing, eating, digesting, assimilating this Christ. And may I say one more word here, saints? By now, you all should have this kind of realization. When I'm talking about here, time with the Lord, I am not boxing this into so-called morning revival. don't think I'm just here talking about morning revival. No. I'm talking about all times. All times. During the day. At different times. Or there may be sometime during 1 week you would be with the Lord for a whole hour. It's included here. Or you're personally going through some crisis situation in your family life, in your whatever situation, that pressure you, force you to have some very particular dealings with Him. That is included. I am talking about just times with the Lord. Times with the Lord. Dear saints, we need more times with the Lord.
Amen.
Our time is hardly enough. We have shrunk our stomachs so much that now we just eat a little something and we're full, you know, like the kind of surgery they do to make the stomach small, to make you lose weight. So your stomach's capacity has shrunk to such a degree you just eat a little, a cup of yogurt, and you feel very full. It's because your stomach is abnormally small. You know, what we should do is constantly stretching our spiritual stomach so that you eat more and more and more. This year I should be eating a lot more than last year. You know what I mean? And also I would like to say something more here. Eating, there's a lot to eating. The best eating actually takes longer time. Another crisis we're facing is this fast food, instant culture that we live in. That we even we treat the Lord as some fast food. You know, the Lord has become Wiener Schnitzel or whatever. You know what I mean? You just throw that whole hot dog into your mouth in one swallow, and you're done. And you're done. Yeah. You know, the bigger the meal, the longer it takes the time to eat. You know, I went to Brazil, and they eat this meat. You know, there's this restaurant that eat nothing but all kinds of meat. They come to your table and they cut it for you. And they give you this little thing. If you flip it on the green side, they will cut more for you. Flip it to the red side, they won't cut it for you. And that means I need a break. And my understanding, the culture in Brazil is they take hours to eat. And they eat very late at night. And they just eat and eat. Then they stop a little while, then flip it to red, and then they flip it back to green, and they start eating again. It's like the whole life consists of this kind of eating. You know, I wonder what those people do, really. They eat long time. They start their dinner at 8 or something like that, you know. I don't know. But the point is, contrast that to, you know, our kind of a fast food culture. I tell you, to eat a good meal, you need time to sample, to grind down, to masticate, which is to chew the cud, enjoy. You know what I mean? And then you all know the digestion does not begin in your stomach. It begins with your molars. That's why we have saliva. The saliva is secreted when we eat. Together with your molars, begin the digestion process. Yeah. While it's in your mouth, the food is already begin to be broken down, not just chopped up, but broken down by your saliva, and then you eat. The more you eat, slower you eat this way, actually the more healthy a person you are, because the absorption experience is much, much more improved. Can you imagine just rushing this thing with God and say, I ate God? Well, you probably chomp God. I'm not even so sure how much you have chomped. And you just go along your merry way to do your thing, live your life. How much time are we spending even just to digest, to assimilate the Lord? You see, that is not so important to us than to do something else. This, that, whatever, your job, this and that. Brothers and sisters, I hope I'm speaking from this angle, from that angle, to impress upon you the need that we have, the real situation we're facing. I'm not suggesting you all go full time and just spend hours sitting there. Of course I'm not talking about that. But just consider how much time we waste on top of the things that we have to do by responsibility, legitimately. How much time we waste that we could have spent with the Lord every day. You just figure. I think it would be good if you do a log starting this week. Just log yourself and see how much time actually there is that can be redeemed to be in the Word with the Lord and so forth. Okay. Now, today I will have to go on to the next list. This next list I call dealing. Now, you may not like this word, dealing. I love it.
Amen.
I absolutely love it.
Amen.
You may say, Minoru, you are a kind of a dealer. You like to deal with the Lord or something. I'm not like you. Well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Now, today we must move on, right? There is a whole realm in our personal times with the Lord that involves dealing. Now, don't take this dealing negatively. Dealing simply means a kind of serious transacting with the Lord. And it is in this kind of transacting with the Lord that life grows, that the renewing is taking place, that the light shines, that confession is made, that repentance is done, that you begin to really hear the Lord. You begin to be adjusted. You begin to be corrected. You begin to be convicted by Him. And it is in all these things that we begin to what? To experience a kind of or are brought into a deeper spiritual experience of the Lord in our inner life. What this eventually will even lead to, brothers and sisters, is a proper kind of inquiry, the proper kind of entreating, a proper kind of prayer, a proper kind of supplication before the Lord, which comprise a big part of our personal time with the Lord. Now, let us get into this. This 12 points concerning our dealing with the Lord in our personal time. The first is confess. The first word is confess. These verses that you can read. So many things concerning not covering up our iniquity, but to confess our transgressions. That's David. In Proverbs, those who cover their transgression will not prosper, but those who confess and forsake them will obtain mercy. And of course, the famous verse in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, we need a lot of confession.
Amen.
A lot of confession.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I tell you, whenever I come to the Lord, every time I come to the Lord in this manner, that's universally the place where I begin. It's not like I'm trying here to self-introspect, you know, to try to dig up something to confess. Don't do that, all right? You have to learn some of these things. Not introspect. Not. But I tell you, every time you'll be with the Lord, I tell you, just a few calling on his name, just some groaning in his presence, I tell you, confession begins. Confession just begins. On this thing that you're wrong in, on that thing that you are short in, on this transgression, on that offense, either towards God or towards men. Towards men. I tell you, oh Lord, I tell you just right away, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so bad. I am so terrible. Why did I do that? What happened to me? Yet I did that. Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? And I tell you, the more you confess this way, the more the Spirit lead you to finer confession. Finer confession. So that eventually it's not just my action I need to confess. I begin to have to confess about my intentions, my motives, evil motives, impure intentions in the Lord's work, in the church life. You see, the Lord will touch. You see, you just want to be number one. That's why you said that. You see, after all these years, you still want to be number one. Oh, I tell you. Oh, I tell you. I just feel shameful. I feel just terrible, terrible. Amen. Dear saints, don't be afraid of this. I am concerned many of us skip this. Not only in our regular times with the Lord, but fundamentally in our Christian life. We have never had one time that we thoroughly confess everything before the Lord. Item by item. Don't be afraid of this. I tell you, the more you confess, the more you are empty. And the more the Spirit will spontaneously fill you without you asking for it.
Amen.
Confession actually is to unload, to empty all the junk that is in you. Daily, we acquire junk. We acquire junk. But I tell you, here and there, we acquire some big junk, you know, that you need time to confess to the Lord. I'll tell you, I have some in the 70s, in the 1970s, there was a big rebellion. Tom knows. And we all got touched by that, didn't we, Tom?
Yeah.
Terrible. It was terrible. And sorry to say, we got involved with that. I mean, to some degree, not fully, but we were not the leading one, right? We were not the perpetrator, but we surely got defiled in that rebellion. Me too. I will tell you, admit that. Then the Lord came to rescue, right? In other words, the speaking began, especially Brother Lee. And a lot of messages, a lot of private fellowship, and I will tell you, the light begins to shine, shine, shine. I'll tell you, up to that point in my Christian life, I have never been brought so low in terms of my being humbled by the Lord and to confess and repent deeply for all the things I did, for all my participation, for all the wrong things, for all the rebellious things. I don't remember how long was it, but I must tell you, it this kind of experience lasts at least for 1 year. At least for 1 year, probably more. Because I was one of the leaders, small leaders, if you will. I tell you, Brother Lee didn't come and say, repent. No. It's the light. Such dealings, it hurts. It so hurt. It is just painful. Just painful. But it was necessary. And there was no need for me to go search and dig. It's just, the light is just there. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, it's in that confession that mercy came. God's mercy is always ready, always there. But is your confession there? Whoever confess and forsake them, meaning their transgressions, will obtain mercy. Oh, in those days, I fed on the Lord's mercy every day. I have no right every day. I couldn't even look up, you know, like I'm somebody, or stand here on my own merit at all. Every day I was begging for mercy just to stand up, to resume my service, to resume, you know, whatever I'm supposed to do. I felt so totally disqualified, totally just out of it, totally the wrong person, totally just shameful. But the healing was there because of the confession. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if even in Irvine we're all brought to such a life of confession, you'll see a revival. Amen. We will see a revival. Amen. We don't even know how much junk that has been in us that has not been emptied for months, maybe even for years, plugging us up, clogging the plumbing in us so that life cannot flow. We don't even know that. And we continue with our church life. You can do that. You can do that. Oh, tonight, brothers and sisters, I want to take you deeper. Actually, this is not that deep. This is fundamental. Fundamental. Oh, Brother Lee talked about rolling on the floor. You know? Rolling on the floor to confess. Well, I had that experience. That was earlier in Hong Kong before I came. At that one time when the Lord came to me to call me. And the Spirit came. And the Spirit, the first thing the Spirit does is to convict. Not to supply, to convict. Convict, convict. I was just a young man. I didn't do many, many bad things. But there's plenty of enough bad things for me to confess. I don't know how long I was there, eventually just on the floor. Tears and weeping, in the Lord's presence. And I tell you, after such confession, I have never felt so light, so released, so happy in my whole life. That is something heavenly. You would not know until you have such an experience yourself. Dear saints, these are the things we need to bring us deeper. You know, I better keep moving. You know David, what sin he committed. You know, what a terrible sin, a double sin, the top double sin put together, and that is called murder and adultery in one fell swoop, King David. Go and read his Psalm 51, right? Of confession. My, is pouring out before Jehovah. He still has to endure the consequence of that sin because God is righteous. But insofar as he's dealing with the Lord, that is a classic psalm. A classic psalm that will help you in how to be with the Lord in your personal confession. Dear saints, by this kind of experience, we know Christ.
Amen.
All right. Okay, the second word I have is repent. Of course, this is, you know, related. Repent is, confess is not to ask for forgiveness. Confess means admission, agreement with the sentence, with the judgment, with the light. That is the meaning of confession. Repentance means, further, that you would make a turn away from that thing or those things. That is, in other words, that is a turning from that to God. Turning to the Lord. That is the meaning of repentance. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I tell you, God loves a repentant person. He will visit a repentant person. You remember that tax collector, right? Who beat his chest. He got the Lord's attention. In all of Revelation, these seven epistles at the end, repent, repent, repent. Brothers and sisters, repent. Even, I will say, with this whole crisis we're facing, we need a lot of individual and corporate repentance.
Amen.
When we're like this, oh, everything's fine, the church life is fine, let's just go on. But I tell you, when the light shines, my goodness, everything about you is wrong. Everything about you is wrong. Oh, Lord, where am I? Where have I been? What happened to me? This last 5 years was just nothing. Where have I been? My Lord, I need a grand repentance, a great turn back to you. Repentance, dear saints. Spend time to repent. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may say, oh, you're so negative. Help us just to love the Lord. Well, I help us to love the Lord already last weekend, right? But I must get into this. I must get into this. All right. The next word is humble. Humble. Humble yourself before Jehovah. Well, I don't have so many verses. Again, There are many verses, I don't have the time here, about how we ought to humble ourselves before the Lord. A lot of us approach the Lord we don't know how to approach the Lord, you may say. We just approach the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you, something like that. That's so general, so general. Have you ever, brothers and sisters, come to the Lord and say, Lord, I humble myself. I humble myself. You and I don't know how proud we are, how utterly prideful we are. Until the light shines, until the light strikes, oh, you just prostrate, you just humble yourself before the Lord. Water flows not upward, but always downward. Someone helped me from my early youth. That means grace, like water, flows downward, not upward. The lower you are, the more grace reaches you. The higher you are, nothing will come to you. Nothing will come to you. Before the Lord, it is good to be in a low estate and seek mercy and find grace in time of need. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Some of us would not be humble. So, the Lord would raise up some certain situation in your life to just, boom, give you a big knock. To knock you down. To force you to be humble. I've seen that. And to some extent, I experienced that. When everything is going your way, my goodness, the Chinese have a saying that you can call the wind and you can order the rain. You know, the older Chinese know what I'm talking about. That means you're God. Order the rain, call the wind. You have everything in control, like this. Aha. Then one day, something that you never could imagine happened to your life. And bottom fell out. Everything broke, is falling apart. This dream that you dream of, it's just gone to poof. I tell you, God knows just how to humble you. At that point, what used to be this prideful, arrogant man would just be like in tethers, in the Lord's presence, seeking for mercy. I tell you, that is really mercy. God's working in our environment actually is His hand of mercy. If we would recognize it. Sometimes it's health issues. Sometimes it's marriages. Sometimes it's family situation. Look at Jacob. Jacob was quite happy in Shechem. You know, with his booths, you know, his cattle and his all these things. He was quite happy there. Then his daughter Dinah got violated by these people in Canaan, right? Yeah. And then two of his sons, Simeon, Levi, rose up and did something to what? You know, that's quite an interesting story, you know, to cause all these people to be circumcised and this and that, and eventually kill all of them. If you are Jacob by then is 100 years old, with a daughter violated and two sons that kill all kinds of people, Jacob told those two sons, do you know what you did? These people are going to go after me and kill me and destroy all of us. you go read the story. I'll tell you, Jacob, his whole life is a life under the Lord's dealing hand. The Lord's dealing hand, not just to deal with him, but I tell you, to transform him. But we all, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, none of us in this room are immune. Is that the word, immune? We all are under God's mighty hand, God's sovereign hand, allowing situations in our life just to humble us. It is good to learn the lesson to humble earlier, sooner rather than later. When we come to the Lord, dear saints, let us humble ourselves. When we are in the humble state, God comes. God will come. All right? Apply. This word apply is a strange word, you may say. Well, what I mean is very, very, very simple, and that is to apply the blood. We all have to know how to apply the blood. I'm quite concerned. Brother Lee once said that many of you young people apply the blood like a politician. Like a politician. That means you are just playing. You go do something and you did something wrong. Oh, I apply the blood. I apply the blood. He said that is just political. He said, actually speaking, in the Old Testament, they apply the blood. They sprinkle the blood, they apply the blood. In the New Testament, there's no applying the blood. In the New Testament, the verse in 1 John 1:9 is that if we confess, he is faithful and righteous to cleanse. There's no need for you to apply the blood. Your need, my need, is just to confess, and the cleansing is automatic. Amen. However, there's still the aspect of the blood in our relationship with the Lord that is very, very crucial. Now, this is a great big subject, and you have to study both the Old and the New Testament to appreciate all the functions of the blood, the efficacy of the blood. But anyway, I will just be very simple here, that we need the Lord's blood for our conscience, for our spirit, for our standing before the Lord. Never, never we should have a feeling that we come to the Lord by our own merit. Never. Even you have the best day, you didn't do anything wrong, you still need the blood of Jesus. We need to value the blood. We need to trust in the blood. No matter what, I need the blood of the Lord to fellowship with God. And so this valuing of the blood is something that itself we can take months to enjoy. Months to enjoy, and then we will be deep. You see, this is the thing. With the church, we cover many things generally, but nothing deep. Just on this matter of the blood, we can spend weeks and months together as the church to really know the power of the blood. And that would affect our lives, our spiritual lives. Okay, I must go on. Offer. What is offer here? Offer. Now, I didn't come look at some concordance and just put it down. I put down these words from experience, my experience. Offer means while you're with the Lord like this, while you are with the Lord, even enjoying the cleansing of the blood, so many times you would just tell God, Lord, I have nothing, I am nothing, but I'm offering Christ to you. I'm offering your Son to you. Now, this can take us a year. You know what this is? Do you know all the offerings in the Old Testament? All the major offerings? How he is the burnt offering to you? How he is the meal offering to you? How he is the peace offering and sin offering and trespass offering? Plus the supplementary offerings, the wave, the heave, the drink. All these offerings are just Christ that we would offer to God in our worship of him, in our times with him. Have you had the experience when you're with the Lord? Lord, a Father, I just offer Christ to you. My hand is on his head. I'm fully identified with him. He is who delights you. He is the one who pleases you. I am not, but I'm one with him. I'm in him. I offer him to you. Be satisfied with your son, Father. This kind of sensation. This is all part of our time with the Lord. Don't say, oh, what are you talking about? No, dear saint. You see how rich these times can be. We have made it so scarce, so poor, our times with the Lord, right? Okay. Of course, this offering of Christ includes also your offering of yourself, right? In him. You just offer yourself again and again to the Lord. I don't know how many times in my times with the Lord I would say, Lord, I give myself to you. Am I right? I'm sure you too. Lord, I give my life again to you. Lord, I give my job. You know what I mean? I give my family. I give my marriage. I just give to you, Lord. I've given many times. I'm still giving. I'm still offering. And whatever you may be dealing with the Lord at this point, at that particular point in time, full of offering. Full of offering. The trainees, four termers, what are you going to do after you graduate? I told the trainees, your main job is not to say, oh Lord A, oh Lord B, oh Lord C, please shine on one of these buttons so I can push them. I said, that's the wrong prayer. You don't need to pray for A or B or C. The best prayer to seek God's will is consecration. You just offer. I am not my own. Lord, I am all in your hands. You are responsible. Wherever I will go, even I don't know, you know. And I rest in you because I'm a fully consecrated person. I tell you, this is the experience we should have. Okay. Next one. I hope you will find all these words dear. Dear to you. The next one is listen. Now, oh, this is a big one. Big one. Mostly when we're with the Lord for a period of time, much of the time should be spent listening and not speaking. There is a time to speak, but I tell you, those who know the Lord knows that mainly is to hear. Lord, open my ears so that I can listen to you. Unplug my ears. Awaken my ear to hear as an instructed one. That's in Isaiah 50. This is my beloved Son, the Father said from the heavens. Hear him. Mary was sitting there choosing the best part at the Lord's feet to listen to his word. Those who have an ear, let him hear. Dear saints, learn the art of listening to God. I'm afraid many of us don't know how to listen to the Lord. We go to pray, we have some needs, we do something. I tell you, blessed is he who knows how to listen. Listen. And it's not easy to listen. That's why you need to stop. You need to be calm. You need to be unloaded. You need to be so open, so unveiled, so joined to him. You should have no agenda, no plan of any sort. You are just there saying, Lord, here I am. Speak to your servant. Speak, Lord. I tell you, one word from God will change your whole life. One word from the Lord can change your whole life and bring you through a particular crisis. One word. I don't know what that word is. There is no greater blessing than to have a personal word from God. Yes, the Lord directs his people. We need to follow the footsteps of the flock. There is that side. The Lord speaking is abundant in the church. That is never replaceable by personal, speaking. But I will tell you, that personal speaking from the Lord, in my experience, is needed to sustain my personal walk with him. I cannot live without the Lord speaking. I just cannot. I would be forlorn. I would be like a fly hitting the window. You know what I mean? I would be such if I don't have the Lord's word. And the Lord speaking comes to us oftentimes through our prayer reading. Through our, handling his word. And some sense, the Lord doesn't speak loudly like this, in an audible way, not in this age anyway. The Lord comes to us in a still small voice in the form of a sensation in our spirit. Therefore, we need to train our spiritual ears to be so keen to hear him. You know, there's this story about this guy who, right? He just studied crickets. And one day he put them, this guy in Times Square, New York. He said, I hear a cricket. What? In Times Square, New York, with all these cars and noise, this guy heard a cricket. You know why? Because his ear is trained to hear crickets. In all that noise, he heard the cricket. Dear saints, we need to train our ear to hear God.
Amen.
To hear God. God is speaking, but you didn't hear him because your ears are plugged or not trained. You don't have the ears of an instructor. Young people, even college age, let me tell you, don't think you're too young. When I was your age in college, I have too much of these kind of times with the Lord. I still remember we moved from house to house, live here, live there, especially single brothers in college. So I ended up on Westmoreland, the same street where Brother Lee lived, down at close to Olympic. And there's three brothers there in this apartment, two bedroom. One of them is Paul Onika. Do you know who Paul Onika is? He's one of the trainers, huh? He has his own room because he's a working one and he pays a little bit more rent, so he has his own room. And I was in this room with his brother, who was a Vietnam vet. That has severe, post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was scary. But he's a brother. So I was his roommate. This is a small unit. They have a swimming pool the size of a tub, you know, in the back there. That is my holiest of all. That was my holiest of all. I cannot tell you how many times after a message evening or meeting, I go back and I would just circle the swimming pool, which is a tub. It won't take me like 20 seconds to go around it once, you know, it's that small. But I would go round and round and round and round. I just lost track of time. I was in college, by the way. I was just with the Lord, dealing with Him about this, about that, about this, about that. I tell you, so much speaking, so much speaking. Talk about knowing the taste, knowing the taste. I surely develop a fine taste for the Lord's rhema, the Lord's speaking. And it's so much so that I cannot live without it. Today, you just take away the Lord speaking from me and I'm done. I'm good as dead, really. I'm just a walking corpse without His living breath, His word. I need some word from Him every day to live, just to live my Christian life. You see, you can do the same. I'm not speaking, I'm so great. No, forget about that. This is quite normal. Quite normal. All right, we better go on to obey. Obey. Oh my, dear saints, obey. What a precious word. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I tell you, God delights in our obedience. Obeying means to say amen to Him. Obey means to be one with Him. Obey means to keep His word. Obey. In your times with the Lord, learn to obey Him. He has spoken. He has spoken. Now obey. Just the slightest rebelliousness towards His speaking, His word is gone. The slightest disobedience causes His presence to depart. But obedience, a heart to obey. The Lord said about Abraham, I must tell Abraham what is on my heart because he will always obey and do what I want. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope the Lord would find each one of us an obedient child. An obedient child. There's a song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's an old hymn, but it's still true. Fear is the next word. My, you say fear. Whoa, scary. Well, I tell you, this kind of fear is the more you know the Lord, the more you fear Him. A kind of godly fear. A kind of fear not for, you know, He's going to send you to hell, He's going to beat you up, He's going to send a car to hit you. Not that kind of a fear. Okay? But a what? A deep reverence, a godly what? Fear of the Lord, that you would not dare to do things lightly. You would not dare to be flippant. You would not dare. To be careless. You are always fearful before the Lord. And these times with the Lord is also when you learn to fear. For example, the Lord, you know, you're with the Lord dealing with something, and the Lord would come to you and say, you see, that's why you experience that. You know, that's why. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, may it not happen again. You know, some of our things in our lives are due to mistakes that we make. Some things that happen to our life. Yes, don't be superstitious, but I will tell you that is true. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the mighty God. It's a fearful thing. Sometimes I see things of no fear. They have this big sign, this surf sign, no fear. I tell you, I fear for them. I really fear for them. They have no fear. They can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. Absolutely no fear. Audacious to the uttermost. My, I fear for them. Surely this is someone who have not learned Christ so much. Well, I don't have the time. Do you know the Lord Jesus is not only our Savior and our Bridegroom, that He is also our Judge. That one day there is something called the Judgment Seat of Christ. That's not a joke. So watch my knee. One of the first hymn he wrote, he said, I walk in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. It's a hymn. He wrote that hymn when he was in his early 20s, when he discovered that truth. Well, saints, God is not to be trifled with. God is not to be messed with. God is not mocked. Sooner or later, we have to learn this lesson. You have to learn this lesson. That will affect your behavior in the church. That will affect your, you see, your attitude very much. And we need to learn this in our times with the Lord. Next one is hope. Isn't this good? I tell you, the more you are with the Lord, the more you're with the Lord, my, in the most hopeless situation, you see the ray of hope. You see the silver lining, which is Christ. I don't know how many of you has been in desperate, hopeless situations. I have. Personally, and in the church life. Both. In the 80s rebellion, I was in smack dab in the middle of the eye of the storm here in Anaheim. Okay. I mean, today we laugh at it. Even I sort of say something like, I mean, it was not a joke. The darkness, the turmoil, the great difficulty. Brother Lee cannot come to the meeting for 1 year. He could not step into the meeting hall for 1 year because of the confusion. The borrowed meeting hall. And I'll tell you, almost so just hopeless. A hopeless situation. It's something incredible. No one can solve it. No one can break through. It was that dark. That hopeless. This is the church. My, the only place you can go to is the Lord every day. Every day. That's all you can do. And find hope in Him. I often say, you know, our house is Six Hope. It's a cul-de-sac. It's the last house. So I say we live at the end of hope. But the end of hope is the beginning of God.
Amen.
If we have never been brought to such a hopeless condition, you will not know the Christ of the God of resurrection. Because God only resurrects people. He doesn't heal, just heal the sick. He let them die, and he raised the dead.
Amen.
The God of resurrection is the God of hope. You need to find this Lord in your times with him. Trust him, of course. Trust. My. The more you're with the Lord, the more you learn to really trust the Lord. Sometimes we just pat people on the back. Hey, brother, come on, come on, just trust in the Lord. That's just some flippant saying. You don't even know how to trust yourself. My, when you're with the Lord so much, with the Lord, you really learn how to only trust in him. His name is El Shaddai.
Amen.
The Almighty One, the All-Supplying One, El Shaddai.
Amen.
With Abraham, he was El Shaddai. With Jacob, again, he was El Shaddai. Do you really know this El Shaddai? Only when you have nothing in the world you can trust in anymore. Nothing you can count on anymore. That he becomes your only trust. Okay, I better finish now. he's our rock. He's our rock.
Amen.
In him, we trust. Riches are not trustworthy. God is. Inquire. You know what is inquire? That is, inquire is not to pray. Inquire is, how do you feel? That's inquire. How do you feel? That's to inquire. What do you think? What's your opinion? That's to inquire. I tell you, a lot of our prayer, we jump over inquiring and go to asking. Have you learned how to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, how do you feel? I have a lot of prayer like this. Lord, how do you feel? The church has a need. I don't know what to do. Lord, how do you feel? Or we have some consideration this way. I have some consideration this way. But Lord, how do you feel? What's your feeling, Lord? I need to know how you feel. That is the way to seek the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord. So to inquire, one thing I have asked from Jehovah, that do I seek, to dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in his temple. All right, the verses you can find. The last word is entreat. What does entreat mean? Entreat means to implore, to beseech, a strong kind of asking. Very strong kind. Even like please, right? I tell Steve, please. Would you please do this? Or would you please do that? That's entreating. Moses knows how to entreat. Because he knows the Lord's heart. And so God was getting mad. God was going to wipe out the whole Israel and make Moses the new race. God was ready to do that. And Moses dropped down and what? And entreat in a strong way. Jehovah, no, you cannot do this. Please don't do this. If you do this, you'll be at the laughing stock of the nations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They will say that you have let all these people out, now you destroy all of them. People will laugh. I tell you, Moses really knows how to talk to God. You know what it says? This is the only place in the Bible. God repented. God repented. I can't imagine God repenting. God repented that day when Moses entreat before Jehovah. Well, I would just, I think this is good enough for this list. Did you get some help tonight?
Amen.
Huh? I know these are not things we speak commonly. They require some another level of exercise, but I hope this will whet your appetite and put within all of us some desire these days to go deeper.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
This kind of time that we want to build before up before the Lord won't happen tomorrow. I would say it won't even happen in a month. It will take time. But trust me, when you build up your time with the Lord to know this kind of time, you will be rewarded
Amen.
For the rest of your life.
So
start right away. Every morning, depending how much time you have, you may have a short morning revival, and that's okay. You have to go. But try to find another time in the day to be with the Lord in this kind of a way. And I would suggest, if possible, every week, find a longer time. Take a walk up the hill. Take a walk around Woodbridge Lake. Whatever you do to find some longer time to have certain transactions with the Lord in this way. You will come to know Him deeper. Okay, I think I better stop here. I think because of time, we need to end. And how about we just have, again, a little prayer with our neighbor, and then we can go, huh?
Amen.